All right? Hot. Let's spell it together. H-O-T. All right. If there's one thing we want to be, it is what?
H-O-T.
All right. And what does it spell?
Hot.
Good. Okay. I'm so glad the Chinese and Oriental people, Asians, are so smart, because that is an important word, okay? And I want you to remember hot, because hot is a hot word today, and it means different things to different people. You know, I got in the shower this morning, and it was not, it was, oh, you guys are incredible. Okay, good. So we can finish this message. I can see that. First of all, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16 says this. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will... What's the matter? Funny boy over here, he's giggling a lot. Because you are not hot or cold, and neither hot nor cold, I will... What's the matter? Funny boy over here, he's giggling a lot. Because you are not hot or cold, but you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Okay. So, it was really funny. I used to work as a shoe salesman, okay? When I was about, I don't know, I started when I was like 15, and I was a janitor, and then they let me dye shoes. This was at a high-end shoe store at Eastland Mall when it was just built in the 60s, okay? So I was there, and as I got older, I started drinking coffee, you know, and it was in like styrofoam cup. Back then, they didn't put like the store's names on the cups. Like, I bought their cups at the same place, and they were just white styrofoam. And they didn't have those little tear things, you know, so you could flip it up, you know, and drink your cup. You had to, you know, like tear it yourself, you know. So I'd go back to my little workstation. I had all my bottles of dye here, you know, and then I'd drink my coffee, and I'd, you know, work on the shoes and grab my cup. Well, one day I went, the old cup was still there, and I brought my new cup, and I just reached over, grabbed it, and I drank this old coffee that had been there over the weekend. Not only that. Some of the guys used to smoke back there, okay, cigarettes. Do you know what those are? Okay. They'd smoke these cigarettes, and then, because it was a fire hazard, you always had to put your cigarette into a, what they called a bucket, and it was a bucket with water in it, and then there was a wire mesh on top. Well, if they were busy, they see an empty cup, you know, with a little bit of coffee in it or pop or whatever, they just stick it in there. The one I drank had cigarette butts in it. And I drank, it was lukewarm. Besides, at least it would have been hot. You know, it might not have been so bad. But it was horrible. Now, frappuccinos are iced coffees. That's pretty good. And then hot coffee, that's pretty good. But this lukewarm stuff, you know, is absolutely horrible. Now, as you read Scripture, you will find out that there are times when God's people are lukewarm. And in a room this size, you have to wonder, is everybody here today really hot for the Lord? All right? That's an important question. Because if you're lukewarm, he says he's going to spit you out of his mouth. Listen to this in Matthew 24, starting in verse 10. And then many will be offended and will betray one another. He's talking about Christians. And will hate one another. Many false prophets will rise and deceive many. And because iniquity will abound, iniquity, the sin nature that we're born with, continues to move on, the love of many becomes... And so we don't want that to happen in our lives. I don't want that to happen for you. The next verse says, but he who endures to the end will be saved. So there are times, folks, let's just be real honest today. We have issues that we wrestle with. We want to be hot. Okay, hot. H-O-T. The H stands for heart. And this is pretty exciting, because the heart issues is the very center of everything that has to do with God. And what does God really want us to do with our hearts? Doesn't He want us to love Him with what? What portion of your heart? All of your heart. Exactly. He doesn't want you to just love Him with a little bit of your heart. You know, I'll love Him on Sunday morning when I'm at church and As soon as it's over, I've got another agenda. No. He wants you to love him with all of his heart. Let me tell you this. You have love. Container of love in your life. Okay? And you're going to take that container of love and you're going to pour it out into some interests. Okay? Maybe you pour a lot of it there because you love school. All your friends are there. It's a social happening. Okay? Maybe you love sports, so you'll pour some out in the gym, you know, because that's where you play. Okay? You might love your mom, your little brother, just a little bit there, okay? But God says that your love is what... Listen, love is like a magnet. Think about that. It's like a magnet. You are like attracted to what you love. Let's say I love this podium, this little stand here, okay? I would be like... You know, it stick to me everywhere I go, you know. Oh, here's another one, you know, and it just sticks. I love microphones too, you know. And then everywhere I go, these things just attract themselves to me because I love them. That's what life is like. You know, on the way here, I told my wife, I said, you know what? If I was rich, I would have a problem. I would want to buy cars. I would have way too many cars. Because naturally, I just like cars. I passed the silver eclipse, you know, and I wanted it. I was bad. I wanted that car. Because why? Because there's some of my love I poured out on cars as they're going down the street. God wants all of my heart. Love is like a magnet. And get this. You guys know how roller coasters work? These new ones, these high-tech ones? They work on magnetic power. Do you ever put like the opposite ends of a magnet together? They kind of like repel each other, you know? And then the other end, you know, they stick together real well. Well, the way this works, I don't know all about the physics of it, but they take magnetic power and that repulsiveness that's there, they repel each other. And then as they turn around and they touch each other and they pull together, they use that alternating positive and negative frequency to create energy so the wheels on the roller coaster move. It's phenomenal. It's fantastic. It's exciting stuff. And as we are magnetized by the Lord, it propels us in His direction. So our love is very important. If we're going to be hot, it's very, very important to have all of our love centered on Him. And even though you like other stuff, like I like that eclipse on the way here today, I'm not going to buy that eclipse. I don't even know the guy who owns it. It wasn't for sale, thank God. You know, I'll be happy with my Mazda 6. And I'm setting a goal to get, like, I don't know, close to 200,000 miles on it before I sell it so that I can be a wise steward of his money. In Song of Solomon, it's all about love. How many of you read Song of Solomon? Okay. I see a lot of smiles. Okay. Song of Solomon is all about love. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, chapter 8, verse 6, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Love is strong as death. I mean, once something is dead, it's dead. Okay? Once you set your love on the Lord, you're fixed. You're set. Nothing can change that. Okay? That's the way marriage is supposed to be. See, it's a sad statistic that divorce rate in the church at large is the same as it is in the world. Because the Bible says love is as strong as death. It's set. And so that's how God wants us to be. You want to be hot? That's what it takes. I love these verses about love, because everything in the Word of God, every page here, centers on one solid thought, and that is that God is love, and that faith from our minds and our hearts works by love. That's what the Scripture says. It says that the fulfilling of the law comes in love. Love, it says, fulfills the law. Every one of these things, these last four statements I just gave you, they are all directly out of Scripture. So love is a central issue. What do you love? That's very, very important. Very important. I remember a young man in our church, He was a senior in high school, and he liked this girl a lot. And he was kind of laid back, just kind of, he knew how to chill, okay? And so he went and talked to this girl's father and said, you know, I'd really like to become a friend with your daughter. And he said, well, before that's going to happen, you have to have a job. Now, this kid never kept a job down too well. He didn't get fired, he just got tired of working, you know. So he'd chill out for a while. So it got real serious. He really wanted Julie. He wanted to marry Julie. He loved Julie. He got a job, and he did the impossible. He kept that job, and it was a nasty job. He kept that job. See, love empowers us to do things that we otherwise would never do. We would never do some of them. You just look at the Olympics and the people that play in those Olympics, the things that they do in practice, the rigors that they go through, the strenuous diet and exercise, because they love winning that prize. Well, there's a prize for us, and it has to do with, you know, loving with all of our heart the Lord. All right, so that's the H, our heart. And the central thought there is love. Love, love. The next thing, the O, stands for objectives. First, we love Him. And then secondly, out of that love comes an objective, a goal. All right? Patrick, the high school senior, loved Julie. And he had some objectives. The first one was marry her. Okay? Now, when you love the Lord, there are objectives that follow. What are the goals that follow? It's very, very important. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 26, I love this concept that I'm going to share with you today. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. Okay, there's something about that life. And listen to this. The earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First, the blade. Did you ever see new little grass seeds growing in your lawn? They're just tiny little green, light green little blades of grass, okay? So first it springeth forth, okay, the blade. Then the ear. And he's talking here about wheat, okay? And the wheat pops up, it's just this light yellow green. And then it grows up, and he says, then there's an ear at the top. There's all of the little wheat seeds, kernels, in that unit, okay? And then he says, after that, the full ear. Then it blossoms out fully, and it's ready to ripen. And the idea here is that as a three-year-old, you had a love. As a three-year-old, you had a heart to love. As a three-year-old, you had objectives. You had goals. What were your goals when you were a three-year-old? Just a little blade. Anybody remember? What were you interested in when you were three? Getting married? Yes. Barbies. Okay. All right. How many of you guys were interested in Barbies? Nobody. Okay. What were you interested in? Teletubbies. Okay. There you go. At 3 years old. Now, when you're 30 years old, you still think you're going to be interested in those?
Yeah.
No. No. So the point is this, that your interest today is different than it was, and that your interest as you get older is going to change. Now, I read this statement. I absolutely love it. We need to be shaped according to what God says we're going to be. So as we look down the road, our objectives change because of what God says about us to become the mature sons and daughters of God. So we have these objectives. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. All right, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I changed. I put away childish things. And in America, unlike in, you know, some parts of the world, including Asia, you know, young people are not afforded the opportunity to think as children from the time they're able to work. This is an American phenomenon that came into being because of child labor laws. If you're old enough to lift something, you're old enough to work. And so in our culture here, we have created laws because we needed them. Children were being abused, you know, in the workplace. But now those laws have really hindered maturity, because young people, all the way through high school, many don't even have jobs because their parents want them to focus so much on their studies so that someday they can get a good job. But there's something about working that is so good for us. We see that we can do good things. Perspectives change. And I'm glad that you can recognize that you move from Barbies and Teletubbies, you know, to greater goals in life. Okay? So we want to keep that in mind. Now the T-O-T is tasks. First, we love God. Secondly, we get His objectives. Okay? And those change. And then He gives us something to... I don't think you should come to church and have your head filled with great ideas and no place to do those ideas. Agree with me? Yeah. If you're going to be a Christian, then you need to have a way to walk it out, to make it very, very real. All right? So Jesus always gave His people something to do. He always gave them an assignment. You know, over and over in Scripture, He says things like, go and. Is this what you thought was a sponge? You want to squeeze that? Is that a sponge?
Yeah.
What? That is not a sponge. This is a brick. Right? So Jesus always gave His people something wonderful to do. All right. So let's just take a look at some of these to do. I looked them up. There are 205 times in the New Testament where the Scripture says, go and. Go and do something. Love me. Get an agenda, your objectives, and then go and. Listen to this. He says, go and search diligently. He says, go not in the way of Gentiles. He says, go into the land. Go and tell him his fault. Go a mile, but go 2 miles. Go tell my brethren. Okay? Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Go and sin no more. Leave your gift at the altar and go make things right with your brother. So there are things that God wants us to do. The Scripture is clear. If you are only hearers of the word and not doers, then you are not justified before the Lord. So there are many others. I could read them all to you. But the thing about doing is this. It's a battle. Has anybody ever struggled with being obedient? Raise your hand. All right, let's pray for the liars who have their hands down. All right. Yeah, obedience. It's really tough. It is a battle to be obedient. You can be obedient even if you don't feel like it. Raise your hand. Yeah. I tell you, I have just been enjoying, and I hope you can get this, and it will be caught by some of you that want to be psycho crazy, hot Christians. Okay? I am experiencing new levels of fun with God as I step out into uncomfortable realms and becoming obedient to what I know is right. I'm telling you, you get empowered. He gives you something fresh. Okay? And so I want you to experience that. Moses didn't want to talk to Pharaoh. Jonah did not want to talk to the Ninevites and see them saved. Although Peter was hot. He was hot for God. Right there. At the same time, he had this energy for God. He had something else. He was afraid he was going to die, so he denied the Lord. Even though David was a man after God's own heart, he had some other heat going on in his system. And he failed. Okay? But his hot heart kept him in tune so that he got back and got right. Now, all this talk about, you know, hot things and so on, I thought I should bring some fire. Does that make sense? How many of you ever played with... How many of your parents know that? Okay, some of you got caught. All right, so fire is... Now, we just finished talking about David. Okay, now I've never... Oh, you know what I need, though? I need this filled up with water. Could you run to the... Who could run to the bathroom? Who's fast? Who's the fastest one here? Okay, you, honey, you're jumping up and down already. You got your motor going. There you go. Just fill it up to about here, okay? I just hate to burn the church down on Sunday morning. Or Saturday night. So, yeah, we're going to play with a little bit of fire this morning just to show you the potential that fire has, all right? I think we need to see what God is talking about, all right? I think it really, really helps to bring it home and make it real. Oh. Uh-oh. That's a... Where's the sensor? Are we far enough away from the sensor? Well, I think we'll be all right. No. So, being on fire for God, it's very, very important. Hey, check out this verse. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. Okay. John intervened in the situation. This is the Message Bible. He says, I baptize you here in the river. He says, but the main character in this drama, just bring it up, honey. The main character to whom I'm a mere stagehand will ignite the kingdom of life. He'll bring a fire, the Holy Ghost within, changing you from the inside out. Now that is powerful. That is very, very powerful. Okay? So here we have, you know, a torch. This is just a nice little torch. That's propane gas. Okay, there we go. All right. I will just leave that there for a minute. And you can't see it? Is it going or not? It's off? Here, we don't want to get asphyxiated. There we go. Can you see that? You can hear it. Isn't that cool? Yeah. All right.
A little bit.
Now what I'm going to do, set this right here. No, it's okay. We'll set this like that. There we go. All right. And I brought with me something wonderful. A donut. Doesn't that look great?
Fried donut.
Yeah. And I also brought some sugar. Now, I love watching those cooking shows, and I think those guys just have a whole lot of fun, you know. Now, I'm going to just take some of the sugar, and I'm going to just sprinkle it on my donut. I had to test this donut this morning. I bought two of them, and I ate the other one just to make sure it was good. So I'm okay. We're going to be fine here this morning. I'll take some of this sugar just because I like the color red. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Red sugar. Sprinkle some of this on. Who gets these? Oh, this looks wonderful. Gee, I wish I had enough for all of you, but I don't. All right. So, this is so exciting. I love it. Now, I want to show you what happens with that donut. But before I do that, I also brought some of these. Now, the scripture says that these are bubbles, but these are strange, rare bubbles. The scripture, these are very unusual bubbles. The scripture says that our lives are like a vapor. Okay? Watch this. Are you watching? Are you still watching? Maybe I did. Oh, I didn't know there was nothing on there. Thanks. All right, here we go. Aren't they cool? Do you notice anything unusual about them? No kidding.
Look at that one batch right there.
Here, Eric. What? Oh, my goodness. Eric, can you catch one on one of your fingers? Look, they don't break. Aren't they cool? Now, all right. Now, the point is this. Watch this. Watch, watch. Let me grab one. Okay, guys, look this way. Look, she's got a whole cluster of them. These bubbles although they last a while, these will last a good while. I blew some this morning, very early this morning. Oh, there's one. Okay. And I got up and I found these bubbles, like they were still there. But look, the scripture says this, and this is the important part. We've got these semi-plastic bubbles floating around. But you've got to get this. The scripture, man's work will be tried by what? By what?
Fire.
Every man's work is going to be tried by fire. This is why, guys and girls, this morning, that being hot for God is absolutely essential. Because if your life ends up to be full of nothing, just air, a vapor, when it comes near the fire, see, it's consumed. There's nothing left. All right? I mean, they just, even though they look like they're great, you could squish that in your hand right now, and it becomes nothing. Just nothing. If our hot attitudes toward the Lord are put in a wrong direction, they become nothing. I brought some other things to destroy this morning. Okay? Actually, I was looking for some of my grandkids' toys, and I thought, you know, that might be a little weird, you know, torching my grandkids' toys. So I didn't bring them. But you know what? I know I could take this torch to this, and it will, you know, just melt. It'll just melt. I'm not going to do it. But it'll disintegrate. It'll just, like, go like this and just be nothing all of a sudden. Okay? Now, if I take the same torch and I treat my donut very carefully, woohoo! Oh, yeah. Oh, my donut. Oh, my donut. Yeah. This is wonderful. Can you smell it? I can. Oh, it's getting all glazed and all beautiful and burnt. Yeah. Okay, I don't want to burn it. There we go. Oh, yeah. Okay, this is good. This is good. Now, check out my donut. Okay? See, fight. Anybody want to taste it? You want to taste it? Go ahead. Just break a little piece off. All right. Is it good? I'll say, say it in the microphone. Okay. All right, guys. This is my experience. This is based on the Word of God. And I want you to have it. That's what I want. Okay? I want you to have this truth. That if you are hot for God, you have a heart filled with love, you have His objectives, and you begin to walk in obedience to the tasks that you delicious. You can be food for other people. Now, before we leave this morning, we have to ask ourselves very important questions. All right? The first one, the H. Are you hot for the Lord this morning? Pouring out some of the love He's given you a capacity. All right? I heard a man 2 days ago said, I adore my wife. And you know what? That gets in the way of his ministry. God comes first. Then your family, then your church, okay, and then occupations and other things fall in line, all right? Secondly, what are your goals? What are your objectives? Why are you living? Maybe it's just to get through a tough math class, okay? And that's okay. That's all right. If that's where God has you, let that be your task. But the important thing is, as young people, have adult goals. Always shoot for what is way down the road, and you will get a lot farther than anybody else that you're walking with who is just looking to get past today or the next hour. All right? Have long-range goals for your life that are spiritual goals. Determined to grow up. When you were a child, you thought it's time to put away some of that. And then this last one, the tasks. Let me ask you, what are you going to do the rest of today? What are you going to do today? We already heard it's a beautiful day out. This is the day the Lord has made. What are you really going to do with it that's going to be pleasing to the Lord? Do you have some ideas? What are you going to do Yeah, the rest of today.
Go get that TV that the landlord said to get out so that we can watch on more channels and not waste the money that we paid for the cable.
There you go. All right. You know, it's good to be in touch with what's going on around the world. You know, I mean, if he gets to watch his I Love Lucy reruns, maybe there's a little issue there, okay? But if we use whatever for the purpose of the Lord, okay? So it's important to consider these things. How many of you would love to be hot and on fire for the Lord? Raise your hand. All right, I know I want to be, even more so. All right, real good. Do the musicians come now and play and then I'll come back? Okay.